Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
Welcome to Breaking Bad 1.0.
1.0, yeah, really.
1.0 on West Coast Project.
Okay.
Really better. Really better call Saul 3:10, but Michelle, I think we're watching Breaking Bad here. I think we've been watching it all along.
It really, really feels like a Walter White-less Breaking Bad. And Jesse-less. And Skyler-less. But you're right. It really does. It really feels like some of the episodes of Breaking Bad that dealt more with the ancillary characters. I completely agree.
Yeah, we're kind of waiting for the merge and all the connections, but the strongest pull of watching this show is figuring out how it turns into Breaking Bad. I mean, we have all these new characters, like Nacho's dad and Kim and Howard and Chuck, maybe, that we might care about, but we're really connecting the Breaking Bad storyline to these earlier times.
Right, right. The whole series feels almost like a backstory to me. And you and I have talked a whole lot about backstories over the years, and I love it. I mean, it's like we're getting this rich history of so many things.
Well, Michelle from TN, first of all, how are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
Fabulous. That's
fabulous.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm hot and tired. It's freaking hot here in California. It's like pushing 100 every goddamn day now.
Is it?
And then houses that don't have air conditioning because it's supposed to be 50 to 80, not 100, not 90 to 100.
Can you get like a dehumidifier? They really do help.
It's not humid. It's hot.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, it's hot, of course, and humid here. You know, the weather here, and it's right now. It's Jillian and I, my youngest daughter, and I were just talking about. We opened the back door. The sun's just setting here, as late as it seems like, and it's so humid outside. It's not even really that hot. It's probably, I don't know what, 75. Or 80, and it's just so freaking humid. And I mean, like in the daytime, the sun's so hot that you can't walk on the deck and stuff because, I mean, it'll burn your feet. You have to have shoes on. Anyway, we have humidity a lot, but usually we get a break in it, and it just don't feel like we've had any breaks in it for a while. It's pretty warm here, but not like, you know, out west. You guys are
getting
roasted.
Well, you know me, Michelle. I'm never one to complain.
Right, right.
So, Michelle, how did you like 3:10 Lantern?
I am immensely satisfied. Yes, I'm satisfied with it. It didn't give me everything, but it gave me some things. And it gave me enough. Just enough. You know, it's one of those things where you got just enough that you're going to come back for more. But it was enough, I felt like. What did you think?
I hated it.
No. Did you really?
Yeah, I thought it was terrible.
Oh, tell me, because it was about Chuck?
Well, because of a lot of things. We were right about the Lantern. I don't like that. It was too predictable. The Lantern had something to do with Chuck catching something on fire. Woo! What a surprise.
But the only reason we knew that is because we looked ahead. I mean, that wasn't like a true spoiler.
He was always putting lanterns on frickin' papers. And,
well, yeah.
Okay. We got no real resolution for Kim. No real resolution for Hector, maybe. But even if that is, that's exactly what everyone thought. Like, stupid attack and the pills didn't get to him in time and he's going to have a stroke. Nacho's the same. Gus is the same. Jimmy's essentially the same. And Chuck, I think we kind of knew his spiral was going to kind of happen that way.
Okay.
And Chuck's drama was way too long. That home destruction set was way too freaking long, man.
It was long for a finale. I'll agree. It was long anyway, but it was really long for a finale. But it really... Maybe because you dislike Chuck so much, it felt different to you, and you're over, not just dislike, but you're just kind of over this storyline. I'm definitely over the storyline too, but I don't think I'm as far past it as you are. So it didn't bother me as much. The suspense, they were able to draw a little suspense out of me. Probably not as much as was meant to come, but a little. So I was okay with that. I completely agree about the Kim thing. I mean, nothing was resolved. If anything, we're better than we were when the season started between Kim and Jimmy.
We're left making guesses about Kim. And, you know, I've got plenty of them because this is a show about drugs. But we can maybe talk about that at the end. But
right.
I like some stuff that tells you, like, wow, that ended. That's dramatic, you know.
Well, I think we're going to see Kim again. Well, I think Kim's coming back.
It's not a freaking finale. It's another ep. It's another stream of the ep. Give us some fucking answers. Also, now, Hector's fall took too long, too predictable. I guess now he's probably in the state that the wheelchair state is, but that took too long.
I'm going to agree with you about Hector and about Chuck and the lantern. They didn't need to. It's better if things are not told to us and then it happened. You know, I totally agree that both of those situations are too predictable, way too predictable to have the kind of impact that I think that they would have wanted us to have, assuming that both of them end the way it looked like they were going to end. The rest of it, I disagree. The Kim, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about Kim yet and her still being there and being with Jimmy. Nacho and Jimmy, I loved the depth of those characters. I think they've done nothing but make Nacho better and better and better and better.
Nacho's the best mystery in all of us because he's the only one that's a really true mystery. You know, I want to see the details of what Gus does to get to the... I guess Gus is already kind of there, though. Gus is already in Breaking Bad mode. I'd love to see how more Breaking Bad characters pop into the story. That's really what's compelling to me. I mean, Gus and Hector are kind of defined now for what they did for the Breaking Bad run.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Kim. I'm guessing with really strong clues how she's going.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to guess the same thing, I think. I fear. I kind of feel it on a wavelength from you.
Did you get
and you and I haven't talked about it at all, right?
Not unless you've been impersonating voices, Michelle. Did you get the double speak code talk on the chair yoga scene and the Chuck scene with Jimmy? Did you see that as double speak, like they really said things but they meant other things?
I'm not sure. I'm following.
Well, I think Jimmy in the live microphone was a plot by him and
sure.
Aaron.
Yeah,
and I also think Chuck was planned to push Jimmy away before he knew that he was going to end it.
Okay, I don't think that's what Chuck was doing at all. But I guess we'll argue that when we get there.
All right, well, let's jump into it. Chuck and Jimmy are reading Mabel by the lantern light in their tent as kids. And, Michelle, did we talk about Mabel when we did Mabel, the first episode of the season? No, you weren't doing it with me then, were you?
Right, I wasn't. I wasn't the one, and so I didn't even know that we had touched on Mabel before. I was curious about that story, though.
I can't even remember if I talked about it, but it's an 1897 story about a five-year-old girl who helps the king of all lizards and is... somehow connected with giants and brownies, and it's a kid's story. It's probably a little bit of a scary kid's story.
Okay.
I guess that's what Wikipedia told me. You could tell Chuck was trying to scare Jimmy a little bit, like in the tent at night with the lantern. By the way, lantern in the tent, little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, it's exactly what I noted. Very fortuitous to have that. Well, I don't know if fortuitous, but.
Very quick scene up to the credits, and then we come back. Jimmy gets Kim out of the hospital. And then another scene I didn't quite get, Michelle. They go to pick up the papers from the ground. Why in the hell would they do that?
I can't tell you.
They're on a computer. Just reprint it. You don't need to get them and pick them up. They've been blowing around for hours out in the desert wind.
Right.
It's stupid. It was stupid.
Okay. But now, when Jimmy went to pick her up at the hospital, when he went to the hospital, he didn't go to pick her up. He didn't know she's going to be coming home. Jimmy, in this episode, remember how I told you in last episode I was really annoyed at Jimmy and I didn't really like the episode because I didn't like that there's got to be somebody to like. There has to be, or it's just not worth watching. And Jimmy redeemed himself plus in this episode.
Yeah, I'll go along with you on that. Jimmy's totally likable. Howard is totally likable. And Kim is totally likable. I totally believe those three are good characters to root for. And who else? Maybe Nacho, pull for him a little bit.
Right. Right. And I'm glad they gave us that. I needed that after last week's episode. I loved how Jimmy was with Kim. I loved the depth of that character. I loved the realizations that he came to seeing her hurt like that. I didn't like that it took that for him to be that guy, but I did love that it was meaningful to me to see him be like that. So I liked that scene, that first scene, and even the second scene, or the second and third, where he is even going as far as going out there and cleaning up her mess. It was, to me, it was more like symbolic of, you've cleaned up my mess for a long time, let me help you clean up yours.
Did you get that they were cleaning up more so than trying to recover the parts of the case that they thought were important?
Oh, I can't imagine that's what they were doing, because, I mean, like you said, that wouldn't make any sense, although I don't know that you'd want somebody's business left out there, you know, for anybody to be able to see. It might be something important, but
I guess that's the only thing that makes sense. It's not like, oh, we need to get those important papers because they're important and we need them. It's like, just go reprint another version of the damn thing.
Right, and get them back in those binders, like that's going to ever happen. I don't think that would happen like that anyway. She had all those things. Her and Francesco were putting them in binders. And I cannot imagine a wreck, you know, that would cause it to that anyway. Yeah, I agree with that.
Ooh, a really big wreck, though, might make everything fly up in the air.
Yeah, straight
up
in the
air. It's dumb. All right, Howard. Now, I'm all behind Howard 100% on this. Howard and Chuck have a meeting. Chuck's in the room with no amenities this time, Michelle. All the lights are on. It's the HHM crew. Howard dismisses everybody and talks to Chuck. Chuck tries to smooth it over with a handshake. Howard has no handshake back for him. Just F you, take my own money, and adios, pal. He is right. Howard is 100% correct. And he says something like, everything you're saying is bullshit and you know it. And Howard, you know, he says something like, I would never endanger the firm. Just as you are, as you currently are, Chuck is endangering the firm by threatening him with a suit that would bankrupt them.
Right. Well, yeah, Howard is paying him in installments, granted, but he's paying him out of his own money. He said he was,
Howard's
and loans.
Keeping those 60 or 80 or maybe 100 people employed, where Chuck would have fucking wiped them out just by his bastardly spite.
Right,
he was
just because he wants
firm.
To still be there. Yeah, I kind of hated to see them show us that Chuck was doing better by all looks of it at that point, and then they wanted to get rid of him. I kind of hated that it happened in that, you know, it's like, you know, you try to do something, and then, you know, as soon as you reach that point, then everything kind of falls apart, and I hate that. That's a sad, sad story.
But Chuck was never doing better. Chuck pretended to be better. Every time everyone left the room, his pot would be too, electric stove would be too much, the blender would hurt his hand.
Right.
He was never better. He tried to portray himself.
He was a little better. Remember when it first started, he couldn't even walk outside in the sunshine. Remember, without covering himself with the Mylar. So he was definitely better, but he certainly wasn't good. And I just hated to see him come as far as he had come to then lose everything. But at the same time, you know, you have to think, how long is the...
How far did he come, though? I don't think he was ever better at all. I think he nutted it up and endured it more. But he was never better. He was hurting when he was outside. He was hurting when he was inside, touching this electrical stuff.
You might be right. I definitely saw him as progressing a little bit. I definitely saw that because he had the stuff put back in his house and turned on and everything.
Yeah, but it still hurt him.
Yeah, yes, it did. But I felt like he was definitely had definitely progressed. But that was just my take on it. And then to see this happen, but at the same time, like I was going to say, how long do you expect the company to hold you up?
Never. No more. That, Howard is 100% right here.
Right.
He's a threat to the company. He's now totally betrayed Howard by saying, if you don't agree with me, I'll just sue you. I'll ruin the company. And Howard saves the company by going into personal debt himself. Howard's a hero. Chuck's a villain.
Chuck is incredulous that he's done that, too. The look on his face, he's deeply hurt, and he's incredulous that Howard would do that.
Chuck leaves all internally disgraced, even among all these cheers of the people. They have no idea behind all this stuff, but he's dismissed, finally.
Yeah, he's out of there.
Jimmy gives Kim some Gatorade for breakfast and makes her breakfast, and man, Michelle Ray Seahorn looks pretty hot in those PJ bottoms. She's in good shape.
Okay. Yeah.
But here's where we get the ominous clue to Kim's future. When Jimmy gives her the pill choices, and her answer is, the answer is always the good stuff.
Right.
And this show's about drugs, Breaking Bad's about drugs, and I see Kim going into some opioid problem, addiction, whatever, that kind of... You know, it's ruined good people, good, strong, upstanding people.
Sure has.
And she's got kind of a little bit of a reckless, dangerous side to her, doing these pranks with people and stuff. And just this comment, they wouldn't put that in there if it wasn't there for, a prelude of what we might see coming towards Kim.
Yeah, I definitely heard the good stuff and thought, uh-oh. So... I definitely had the same thought that you had, but I really liked Jimmy in these scenes again. I'm going to say it again. There's many times I'm going to say that on this episode, but I loved how doting he was with Kim. I loved how smart he was. You know, you need electrolytes because, that's smart. And, he even goes as far as wanting to fix the strap, her sling, cast sling. And he just, he's making her food and he's, just doing everything for her. And then they get into that conversation about the office. And I want to know what you thought about that.
Well, I'll get to that, too. I forgot something in the earlier scene of Jimmy and Kim at the hospital where the writers are just really smart about this. Because the very first thing you want to know is, like, is this serious where we have to stay overnight in the hospital or are we going to be able to leave? And right. Jimmy kind of asked that, like, does she have to stay? Or how long did she have to stay or something? It was really, like, tuned into what people would really wonder.
Sure.
That's the measure. That's the barometer of the injury. Is like, is this staying long or does she get to just leave after her cast is dry?
Right.
So I like that smart part of the writing. Okay, so...
Do they even do casts like that anymore?
This is 2003. We're at Blockbuster, Michelle.
Oh,
they
sorry.
They do a lot of things differently now.
Okay.
All right, so she gets breakfast from Jimmy. She says, I could have killed somebody. And she's kind of worried about what is going to happen. Jimmy's going to close the office. I don't give a shit about this office after everything that's happened. So he's kind of light come on for him, like, what's really important to me now? And it's not keeping a legal office together. It's, like, taking care of Kim. So that's going to make all what happens in hopefully season four. I'm sure there's going to be a season four more profoundly sad when we see whatever happens happen.
But Kim asked him, she's like, she seems relieved that he don't want to keep the office anymore. She's like, are you sure? And I really got the feeling that, and Jimmy even pointed out that Kim was doing all this to, hold up, to kind of carry him. And she's like, I got in the car on my own. You didn't make me get in the car. He was blaming himself. I don't think Kim ever wanted the office. And now, all that time that we were talking about how Kim was kind of being weird about the money and stuff, I don't think she ever wanted to be there, necessarily. I think she was totally happy doing what they were doing before.
Well, and they both physically injured themselves to keep this office going, which is, like, way too much to put into
right.
keeping an office together. They both
right.
suffered
just
physical harm to themselves.
Jeff's for the building. We're just talking about the building. And I was surprised at her I don't think I knew that she did not still want the office. And that's really the take I got from this. When she's like, are you sure, Jimmy? Because he's talking about bringing a desk and filing cabinets and whatever into the home. And
well, she didn't want the office from the beginning.
Right, right.
So this is just reminding us that she doesn't have to fight for the office anymore, maybe.
No, and she was struggling to hold it together the whole time, it felt like. And that's why she was working so hard. And, you know, she did do the office thing, I think, more for him. But I didn't realize that it had turned into something that, you know, she was happy to let go. And I don't know. I was kind of surprised by that, by how relieved she felt. And he said he didn't give a crap about the office, considering, you know, like weighing it between are we going to have to kill ourselves to keep it, or, you know, or halfway kill ourselves.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch too, because I think the money they were making, they could have easily kept a stupid office in the outskirts of New Mexico.
Yeah, but why?
Well, if they were both working, it wouldn't have been hard.
Right.
And if Jimmy was on a year and they wanted to really build a business, Jimmy could have gotten another job and stick. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch. They were so broke that they couldn't keep this office without working 24 hours a day. But anyway, it is what it is. So next scene, Nacho's dad, Manuel, meets Hector. And Michelle, you may have been correct, because outside this shop, the street sign is in English. The stop sign is in English. I could have sworn this business was in Mexico, and that was the whole reason Hector wanted it, to get a reason to transport stuff between Mexico. Maybe the supplies came from Mexico. Maybe that's what I remember about Hector and his dad talking, that the upholstery supplies came from Mexico.
Okay.
But
yeah,
they needed
maybe
a business that transacted with another business in Mexico, and maybe that's good enough.
Well, right, kind of like the Los Pollos Hermanos, right? Because that was a stateside business, but it was how they were, you know, doing their, you know, getting their stuff in and out. And this place would be a place to physically, I took it as a place to physically process the products and stuff. Is that what you took? Because the way they were talking about it, about moving machinery.
Yeah, well, that's what they were doing.
Like that.
That's what they
yeah.
were doing.
Okay.
So Hector tries immediately to buy Manuel off by putting cash on the counter. He rejects Hector. There's a red bell on the countertop, kind of a little obvious display of Hector's upcoming problems. And Nacho says, think of Mama and the daughters. Don't get him mad.
Right in front of Hector. Okay. What did you think Hector thought? He seemed like, to me, that he was, like, happy and upbeat, and it didn't seem malicious when he went there. It is malicious because of who he is, you know, and what he's doing, and he's forcing it. But it seemed almost like it hurt his feelings.
No.
No?
Come on, Michelle. He's a crime lord. He's going in there to rub Manuel's face in it.
Okay.
I just own your business, buddy, and here, you take a little bit of money, and you're going to be happy. And then he gets rejected. He's intimidating him, right? And Manuel's not, he's probably feeling intimidated, but he doesn't act intimidated. He's like, you know, I don't want this,
right?
And he finally has to take the money, because Nacho's right, you know, Hector probably won't stop at Mama and the daughters to make things happen his way,
right?
And then Hector's angry, I can't trust him because he didn't bow to me right away.
Yeah, so, he's very mad. He doesn't say anything else.
Nacho now has the only choice I thought he really had when I said it in the last episode. He's got to figure out a way to shoot him in the face and take whatever consequences. Just take him out.
Yeah.
And then leave the chips fall where they may. So he almost does that. But we go back to Kim and Francesca. They're getting some stuff shipped in from Gatwood. It's hot sauce and probably steaks.
Yep.
To Kim, I guess because of the accident, they're like a get-well gift.
Yeah, I think so.
And Francesca's covered a lot of bases for Kim while she was in recovery. Still time to meet that deadline if she wants to.
Yeah, that was a big deal to reschedule all that, because remember, that's why she was getting no sleep or anything and doing that. So that was a big, big deal for Francesca to be able to get that done.
So Kim finally realizes it's all too much, just has Francesca cancel everything. And they go to get some movies at Blockbuster. To Kill a Mockingbird and some other ones. I didn't notice any others that they picked up. Then Jimmy goes to Chuck's. He goes almost to drive away, but only moves about 5 feet, changes his mind, and goes and talks. Chuck lets him in, and they talk. So he's got the record player on, Miles Davis. He's got the refrigerator full, and it's on. The lights are on. And Chuck is portraying himself as, well, I'm very well. I always told you I'd get better. And it's just bullshit. And then Jimmy tries to apologize, Michelle. And I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but Chuck rejects the apology, says no regrets. Why bother? You're going to hurt people and apologize. That's just what it is. That's what we'll have to accept it as. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you've never mattered much to me. And I think he's pushing Jimmy away to keep him safe for what he kind of knows what he's going to be doing and then later in the episode.
Well, that would be a really stupid thing for somebody to do. That's not going to work. You know, I mean, maybe it'll be like a last memory. I don't think that's what happened at all. But maybe if somebody were to do that, then it would be like a last memory so you could feel angry at him in place of like as much sorrow or whatever. But I didn't get that at all about that scene. I felt like, first of all, he didn't know Jimmy was going to be there, and all of his stuff was on, and the refrigerator was full, and it was humming. And so I feel like Chuck is better. And I felt like Jimmy coming there and apologizing, and Chuck saying this. Now, I didn't watch episode one, like what you were talking about, to podcast that I watched it, but I don't remember it at all. Didn't take notes on or anything, but I felt like they showed us the scene at the beginning of this to show us that Chuck's actually lying, that Jimmy did mean something to him, and he was just trying to be hurtful to Jimmy because he felt like he was doing better. But there again, everything he said to Jimmy is kind of what Jimmy becomes as Saul. You know, he's telling him, play to your strong suits. This is who you are. You hurt people. I believe you feel this emotion, but, you know, you have regrets. What does it mean? So what? It doesn't matter. You know, and...
Yeah, but his very fact that he's there apologizing to Chuck betrays that. He does care about... He is a good guy. He doesn't just hurt people and apologize. He's sincere about what he did. I mean, maybe he did hurt him and he's apologizing, but he is a good guy. Jimmy is a good guy.
Well, I think a lot of what Chuck said, he was speaking for himself, what he was saying about Jimmy, about how you just hurt people and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that's what he's been doing. So it was almost like he was portraying, you know, like projecting his own failures in a way onto Jimmy. I think you could look at it that way anyway. But him saying, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you've never mattered all that much to me, as he's got his hands on Jimmy's shoulders, then he turns and walks away. I really dislike, like, physical violence and stuff like that, brutality on screen. I think it almost never has a place for it, and I hate watching it. Anything brutal in movies or TV shows, it's not entertaining to me in any way, and I think it doesn't have to be usually to get the point across. And this came as close to any physical brutality feeling that I've ever seen or felt on a show to have not had anything physical in it. Him saying that to Jimmy, I recoiled when he said that. And I could not imagine, as much as Jimmy loved him, and this happening with Kim, which made him realize, you know, turned him into, I called him touchy-feely Jimmy and the whole thing, because he turned into a whole lot more, you know, sensitive, open to his emotions, and see what's really important in life. And then to go there with his brother and have his brother say that, when we saw as the scene opened that his brother did care about him. He's camping out with him in the backyard and reading him stories.
Yeah. And so you're saying both sides of it, then how can Chuck really mean, why would he want to have Jimmy believe that he never mattered to him?
Because he's mean, because he just hurts people.
Well, I mean, all you got to do to feel better, Michelle, is change your thought process on this and agree with me.
Oh.
That he's been doing a kindness to, like, make Jimmy not feel so bad when he kind of knows what's going to happen.
See, I don't think he has any idea what's going to happen. I think he's emboldened by his feeling better. And so
yeah,
he's
but later
even,
that night, he starts shutting down the electricity.
Right.
Like,
and
I'm
think,
done with everything. I'm done with all this.
See, I didn't... Okay, that's the very next scene, so we can go ahead and talk about it, I guess. But he's in bed, and he's restless, and he gets up, and he takes a pill, and he's journaling in his journal about what happened and everything, his anxiety, I suppose, and he's doing the color, gold comforter, green chair, brown journal. I noticed he didn't put the cap back on the pills. I just wanted to note that. Didn't seem to play into anything, but, you know, we're always talking about drugs and stuff, and I thought that was kind of weird. It was like cockeyed on the pill, like, you know, halfway on, halfway off. But he gets up and he walks downstairs and he starts hitting those breakers. I felt like he was uncomfortable. I felt like he woke up in the middle of the night and the truth of everything hit him. The Howard truth, the fact that he was out the job, the Jimmy truth, the fact that he is essentially out a brother. And I felt like that kicked off his anxiety. Both of those huge life events happening, same day, same couple days, kicked it off again. And he just, you know, the color scheme couldn't quell it enough.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, next scene, Jimmy and Irene are talking. He brings her a cake and some cat toys and tries to talk to her about cruises she can go on now with the ladies. And he's kind of feeling her out here. And to figure out what to do. And he says, you can't let your differences come between you. He wants her to reconcile with her friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's interesting that he, as he's saying, you can't let your differences come between you, that's not really to Irene. That's to the ladies at the mall.
Right.
Even though 1 second ago he was sitting in front of Irene. That was a cool cut. And he's trying to reconcile everybody, trying to direct the blame to himself. But the more he does that, they just think he's a good guy who Irene doesn't deserve to have as a friend. And
right. They think he's just willing to take the fall.
All right. So now we go to Chuck's house again. He checks his meter outside for the first of like 50 times. The meter's still turning. He's not showing any pain because of the meter turning. It just seems almost like it's OCD or something kicking in that I need to know what this is. He's not really in pain from it. It's just driving him nuts.
What would cause that? Do you know?
The meter to keep going?
Yeah, when everything's turned off in the house.
Well, obviously, everything isn't turned off in the house. I don't know. I'm not an electrician. Maybe something to do with the air conditioning system, or I don't know.
I didn't either. I never could figure out what was actually making that meter turn, and I even wondered at one point, is it actually turning, or is he just seeing it? Because if I remember right, the numbers on it, and I didn't go back and look, but I just thought of it, actually weren't changing, but he was seeing it spin. And
well,
when
those
it spins,
numbers change, you know, they don't. It's not like a... It's not like the world clock where you see the debt or something. It's like every 2 seconds,
sure,
it's $1,000.
Sure.
It's like those numbers change after time.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, I was just curious if it was even doing that. I didn't know how lucid he was even in that situation.
Yeah, I think what we see, we can believe. Camera's
okay.
Not insane. No, we're not.
Well,
we're not as insane as Chuck. Anyway, he destroys the house seeking the source of that phantom power draw, and that's all we need to say about it. I'm sick of Chuck. He cancels his doctor appointment and stashes the phone. These are all kind of clues to me that he's putting away the phone for like the last time. I put on my notes here, did he know at this point? But I think he kind of did that. He's, you know, where do you go to get out of this? You don't. You just keep spiraling down.
Well, at this point, I'm feeling really bad for Chuck. And I was a little annoyed at myself that I'm feeling bad for him again. But I made a note that I don't like that I feel bad for him. But they were able to just barely draw a little bit of that out of me in that episode. And that music they were playing, good grief, crazy music.
All right, next scene is Nacho in his shoot Hector's face off plan. He goes up at night to Hector's headquarters, sees him through the window of the truck or the car, and kind of takes aim and waits. But then the other guys come up, Arturo and the other guy, and just like in full measure when Jesse was going to take shots at those guys and Walt pulled up.
But that, so he was going there to kill Hector? That's what he was going? Or was
he
just
other choice.
Out?
Just kill him. Just.
I didn't know if he was doing that, if he was waiting outside to protect his dad. But I assume his dad wasn't in there, right?
No, he was going to kill Hector.
Okay.
After Hector said, "I can't trust him," that does not bode well for Manuel. That means Hector's going to do something to him.
Right.
You're going to make him trustworthy by killing one of the daughters. Now do you trust him? You know, he's not a good guy. So.
But would Hector have went there alone to do that?
No, he's not. Hector's at his own HQ. Hector's not going in after Manuel here. Nacho's going after Hector at Hector's own HQ. Just like, I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna take him out. I'll probably get killed doing it. It's a suicide mission, but at least it'll stop Hector from hurting my father.
Okay.
But those other guys show up and they connect and they say. Then Nacho kind of looks, he puts his gun away and kind of looks like he should be there. Like, and he's probably not out of place there. And they just say they're coming. And then Juan Bolsa and Gus show up. So Nacho didn't get caught at this, but he was about to. And had he shot him, he'd be in a world of hurt right here. Because here's Arturo and the other guy and Gus and Don Juan Bolsa.
Right.
And with Hector lying with a bullet in his head, it would be pretty clear.
Right.
It was probably pretty clear anyway, but maybe Nacho could have tried to run after
or anything. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, in that situation, I don't see. I wouldn't think Nacho. I can't picture what else Nacho could do, but wouldn't they potentially still go after his family and stuff anyway if he did that?
I don't know why. Hector was the one. Dismissed by Manuel, you know. So he was. I don't know. I think he was mad at Manuel. He's a freaking Salamanca Tuco. Think Tuco. You know, you made me mad at you. I'm gonna never forget that. I'm gonna repay that. Arturo and Juan Bolsa don't think that. You know, Gus doesn't think that.
Right.
Anyway, so Juan Bolsa and Gus show up. Bolsa gives the edict. It's Gus's way, the Chicken Man's way from now on. And Hector doesn't like this at all. He even sees Gus standing there. He's like, "What's he doing here? The boss can suck me off." He's just mad, and his anger is way better than his judgment. It's, like I said, Tuco Salamanca-ness is showing off here.
Yeah, he's freaked out for sure.
"And we Salamancas spilled our own blood, this, that, et cetera, et cetera." And he just goes nuts. His heart kicks in. And he swallows a bunch of pills and drops them. And then Gus does CPR on him, and they call 911. What did you think about that, Michelle? Gus saving Hector.
Yeah. I'm confused about it. Okay, I'm not completely convinced that this is going to be Hector's downfall. I mean, we got to assume it is, I guess, but I'm just not 100% about it.
Either way, it's bad. It's either super predictable, because here it is, he's in the wheelchair. And if it's not, if it's another delay, he's already had one fake out on us. If this is another one, that's not good. It just doesn't.
I agree. And Gus doing CPR on him, I mean, he hates him. You know, and I mean, that's no reason not to do CPR on somebody, I suppose. Well, no, I don't suppose. I know.
Gus wants to save him so he can torture him later.
But Gus couldn't possibly know that he's going to be incapacitated if he's saved.
He wants him to be alive and healthy so he can do whatever he wants to do to him later to make him pay for Max.
For who?
Max, his boyfriend at the poolside back.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, so you save somebody so you can. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't really get that
whole
thing.
Why would he save him then?
Because everybody's there.
So he just stands back. I don't know CPR. I don't know what to do. The guy has a heart attack. He's saving him so he could have the advantage of hurting him more later in a more painful way than just a heart attack. He wants him to live so he can play with him later. He played okay. with him. He played with him for years in the old folks' home, and he taunted him. All right, so they say you should get out of here, and I think it's just Juan Bolsa who leaves, right?
It's all of them except for Gus and Nacho.
Okay.
Yeah. So
they're probably supposed to be. They're probably Mexican nationals. They're not probably supposed to be there. And so Nacho picks up the spilled pills. The EMTs come and take Hector away, and Nacho gives them the pills under the very watchful eye of Gus. So Gus sees a little bit of what's going on here with these
pills. Think Gus got it. I think because he did. He definitely gave him a look. So.
Well, Andy's Gus. He sees a little bit, and he knows a lot.
Right.
All right. Jimmy and Kim at Relaxathon 2003, Michelle.
Yep.
She's eating cheese Doritos dipped in cheese sauce.
There you go.
That actually made me want to go get some Doritos and try that. And she's got, I know one other of the movies is Monty Python. She mentions that. So.
Right.
It's either that or To Kill a Mockingbird again, which she's already watched once that morning.
Yep.
She's just in love with the legal part of it. She's not in love with, what's his name?
Gregory
Peck.
Yeah.
She is not in love with him. She wanted to be him. That was pretty cool.
Right. And it was funny because Chuck said, Jimmy said that Chuck was the same way.
Right.
So that was an interesting little comparison.
So Kim's very disillusioned. Her biggest chore in life is making a mid-sized bank into a regional-sized bank. Very frustrated with that.
Right.
And then Jimmy describes his frustration with the ladies and trying to figure out how to get them all to reconcile.
I thought what he said was pretty good. Did you get that? He said he's good at tearing stuff down, not fixing stuff up.
Well, that's true. That's true. He thinks about Irene, and at that moment, I guess he's figured out what he needs to do, and that's the spilling the beans in front of everybody.
Yeah. He don't want to do it, though.
So,
but you like him for doing this, right? It was another touchy-feely Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's a troublemaker, but he's basically a good guy. So he goes and does the chair yoga. He's the director. Aaron Brill comes in from Davis in Maine and needs to talk to him that moment. They go out and do the live mic trick. I don't care about these old ladies. I'm just telling them shit to get them to do this sooner. And they're not going to be alive anymore anyway.
Yeah.
So this puts the ladies back in unison. They all tell him, shame on you, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's the worst. Shame on you.
They carry Irene off on their shoulders.
And just like that, we love Jimmy again.
And then Jimmy thanks Aaron. It worked like a charm. So Aaron scores on this, too, because I guess that means the lawsuit is not going to be settled. It's back in play.
Right. He thinks that Irene will probably call her and cancel it after that, thinking that he only had his own selfish interest at heart in place of theirs, too.
And that's probably the only reason Aaron would have done that. She's not trying to help Jimmy with anything.
And how funny that Jimmy went in there knowing chair yoga poses. I mean, we have to give him that, right? That he pours his heart and soul and everything into what he's doing, you know? I mean, there is a cat and a cow position in chair yoga. I looked it up because love yoga.
You probably got to figure Jimmy's good at his scams, and he probably looked it up too. Probably not that hard to look up a couple poses.
No, but that was interesting that they actually used real poses that Jimmy, not being a yoga teacher, could go in there and, I don't know, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, he's good, just good at concocting his scams. If he said, well, I don't know what you normally do, but I guess you sit up a little bit. What do you do here? That would be stupid. So Jimmy packs up the office now, and him and Kim say goodbye to Francesca. Good. It's a big loss to lose Francesca. She's a really pretty quality employee, I think, here.
Man, I know. That's what I was thinking. Can you not keep her on, some way? Even if you don't keep the office, keep Francesca. Let her work from home. Let her, do the stuff she's doing. I was thinking the whole time they should keep her.
So Jimmy throws away his Rolodex of seniors. He's done with the seniors, he thinks, anyway. Kim retrieves it, kisses him, and says, we'll get a new, better wall. And you may not be done with the seniors, so. And then the final scene is Chuck's fireball, and that's the end of that's the end of that, Michelle.
That was the end of it.
So tell me what you think happens to Kim.
I think we're going to see Kim all next season. I think the end of next season may be the, you know, whatever does happen. Kim may relax, and she may over-relax, meaning that everything that's important to her now that she's in this, you know, and it, I don't know, you know, I mean, I've read about people who get into this because they want to make a difference and the whole Atticus Finch kind of thing, and then they realize that they end up having to do some stuff like what Kim had to do with Jimmy, and it's just, you know, they're completely disillusioned by it. You hear about people that go, I mean, because law school is a lot of school, and then they just don't do it very long because it's not anything that they can be passionate about as far as that kind of stuff goes. And I think, especially comparing that to Kill a Mockingbird and her talking about all that, I think that she's very disillusioned. And I worry, like you were saying, that it could lead her down a path to, you know, basically prescription pill problem.
Yeah, well, I think those are two different problems. She could be disillusioned Absolutely. With her job and still do it for 25 years.
She could, but this kind of forced her to slow down. It forced her to stop and see it for what it was. She was physically forced to stop, at least for a while. And so, you know, that kind of physical stop could create the opening to something else. I don't know. I mean, I'm just guessing, but that would be my guess that would happen with her.
I think the pain of being in the car accident and broken arm and whatever else is the addiction. It opens the door to addiction. I think that's the true problem.
Well, probably she wasn't in that much pain. I mean, Kim was not in that much pain. Come on, you're talking about her in her pajamas and stuff. She's walking through. She's up the next morning and walks
yeah,
up there and
she's
sitting in a
stool. She wants the good pills, not the ibuprofen.
Yeah, she wants them. But did she need them?
Well,
I don't
not yet.
Know that she needed them as
well,
far
the
as
the first time you take
pain.
A shot of heroin, you don't need it. You
no,
want
like, I don't
it.
Mean, that's not what I mean. I don't mean, you know, emotionally. I don't even mean a physical addiction. I mean, was she in so much pain that she needed a prescription painkiller? Because she didn't seem like she was in that
so
kind
what's
of pain.
The point of, what's, so what? She has them. They've been prescribed to her. She has them in her possession. She's clearly going to try them. She probably already has them, taken them from that breakfast.
Well, right. She might have even taken them the night before or something. And maybe she, you know, they showed her kind of antsing around in the bed and stuff with her arm propped up. And I'm sure that was uncomfortable. That would be something that you would think, okay, she might need some help controlling this. But the next morning when she's up cutting sausage, you know, with her left hand and, you know, and she looks fine. As a matter of fact, she looked too good. Her face isn't even swollen. It's not bruised. She still looked really beautiful, even with these, you know, minor imperfections on her face and everything. And, you know, to me, at that point, she didn't need the medication.
So what's your point, Michelle?
I guess it's another thing that she's doing something that she doesn't need. You know, she's already doing it when she doesn't need it, I guess, is my point.
Okay. Well, I mean, whether she's in pain or not, she's going to take those pills. That's why they're in the damn show. And she's going to probably get addicted to them. You gave me your prediction. This is mine. So she's probably going to be addicted to opioids somehow. And Jimmy's not going to be able to be a lawyer for a year. So he's probably going to get somehow in trouble with helping keeping her going with needing more and more help with this addiction that I pretty clearly think she's going to have.
And by help with her addiction, you mean he's going to supply her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, a lot maybe of people he'll would try argue to, maybe he'll try to get her clean and sober from it, and maybe it won't work, and maybe that'll be their breakup. But you know, he's not going to just bail on her. Oh, you're an addict. I'm moving on from you. He's going to try to help her, and that may mean doing a lot of illicit stuff to get money for them, or maybe he has plenty of money and he can't get them, so he has to go to Nacho and the doctor and The flim flam man who got the pills the other time. I mean, who knows what he's going to do? But this is clearly here for a reason.
Well, remember. Well, right. But remember, he doesn't have any money. That Sandpiper thing is going away as soon as Irene calls, and they're anticipating that's going to happen. So Jimmy's going to go back to nothing. So you're right. This could be a trade-off that how he does get in with the drug, you know, people and start working for them.
And not much time has passed since the decision that he suspended for a year, so he's still got a pretty good chunk of time to serve out before he can just be a lawyer again. So he can't just work hard as a lawyer. He's got to do something to make a lot of money. And this is the perfect scenario for trouble between him and Kim.
Okay, so we're going to assume that Chuck died in that fire, right?
I would.
Okay.
Why do you think he wouldn't have died?
I don't think he wouldn't. I think he would, but we don't know that he did. You know, I mean, he could have just, it wasn't like he was, you know, strapped down or anything. He could have easily just walked out the door after he did that. For, you know, for all we know, he could, I don't know. But on Talking Saul, Peter Gould was talking about Saul and discussing how we see Jimmy turning into Saul and what happens to Chuck, how it'll affect that.
Yeah, and he also said until you see a body, you don't know somebody did. But first of all, you think, you know, Chuck did this on purpose, right? He kicked that over.
Sure. Deliberately, again and again and again.
It wasn't an accident,
yeah.
Like, oh, shit, no. I better get out of here. Although,
which is what we were worried about.
You may kick something over intending to burn yourself to death and then realize, holy shit, I don't want this to happen after 30 seconds.
Right.
So that's believable. But if they keep stringing Chuck along another few episodes, it's going to be too much of a burden.
What was Chuck looking for?
What do you mean?
In the wall. What was he looking for?
The source of the electricity.
You just like tear out your wall?
Well, and he's insane. He's holding his hand on the wall like, do I feel pain here? Do I feel it? Do I feel it? Ooh, maybe. I better.
Okay, so that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I thought surely not. But yeah, I mean, anyway, that was insanity.
He wanted the electric company to come out and find the source of it. And they said, oh, we can't come till Wednesday. And he's like, oh, that's too long. So he went, you know, he's messed up. He was more than just pain. It was like his mind telling him there's an evil thing in your wall and you got to find it.
Yes, you're right.
So he's crazy. All right, Michelle, I don't know. I, for such a good show, this was not a good ending for me. And I like rooting for people, and I don't know who. I know I'm going to root for Jimmy, of course. It's stupid to root for Kim, I think, because she's not going to be around.
Around with Jimmy or Saul. I mean, she might be around. We don't know if she's actually going anywhere, you know.
So Jimmy says in Breaking Bad at one point to Walt, when Walt's breaking up with Skyler, well, what are you worried about? My second wife had sex with my stepfather or something. So has Jimmy already been married once at this point?
Not that we know about. I mean, nothing that I've seen.
Because if Kim was his second wife, yeah, that would not fit the profile of Kim unless she goes into some horrendous opiate addiction and does crazy stuff for money. But maybe Kim would be his first wife, and then later in Breaking Bad, he marries a second woman. One of the Asian nail ladies or something.
I don't know.
Because he's pretty crass with Francesca. He's hitting very rudely on Francesca in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before. I don't remember it specifically, but I've heard you talk about it.
He tries
it
to get her
times.
To go out with him, and he talks about her big boobs, and he's just really, really rude to her. Yeah, like a misogynist type of rude to
her.
Right. And, you know, he knows her now, and he's very polite with her now, and it's just something turns where he's very rude to her.
And well, you she's think already,
Kim,
though.
If Jimmy has two wives along the way and Kim's not one of them, that would be an odd thing.
Yeah, or he could have just been saying that. You know, I mean, it's not past Saul to just make some flippant comment to try to make somebody feel better. I could totally buy that. Okay. Kim and Jimmy, I'm okay with that going another season. That was one of the pros that I liked about it. He's not Saul yet. We've seen gotten taste of it, but he's not there. So I'm okay with seeing that play out. And I think that that could be really good. I liked Nacho. I liked the depth of Nacho's character. I like everything about Nacho. And I'm glad Nacho's still with us. And to see how, you know, what's going to go on with that. That's interesting to me. I dislike that we didn't have more resolution. Like, Chuck is likely gone. But, you know, what's the effect of that on Jimmy, if he is or if he's not?
He's gone. I guarantee we know, you he's gone.
Yeah. Well, we know that he doesn't end up with Kim. So what's going to go on with that? There's no resolution with that, even though I'm happy to wait on that. I thought we might see something. And we think this is how Hector ends up in a wheelchair, but we really don't know for sure. And so, I don't know. They didn't show us that Chuck was dead. They didn't show us that this puts Hector in the wheelchair. So it just felt like those were cons to me about the episode, is that nothing was really settled. Not really. There was no definitive answers to really anything.
Yeah, for a show that has airplanes crash together, it blows people's faces off and has people shoot criminals in the head and yell, "Run for your life," at the end of their seasons. This was a very, very weak ending. You know, what else? What happened in season 5? Hank sitting on the toilet with the book in his lap. They have very distinct reveals at the end of their seasons. And for this to peter out like this was really, really disappointing.
I just was so glad that I got to like Jimmy again, that I guess I was able to overlook a lot of the stuff. I really wanted Jimmy to come back, and I wanted to be able to like him. I was surprised at Kim, though, not continuing with that Gatwood account. That was surprising to me. Not so much because, you know, she needed to pay for anything or anything like that, but just because I felt like that was kind of telling, too. You know, she let go of her responsibility to that when she could have handled it, maybe. And it just didn't, it seemed completely out of character for her.
She did make it clear that she was aware of another responsibility when she said, "I could have killed someone. I'm pushing myself so hard and driving my car, I could have really hurt someone." Sure. So to back down from that, that is actually sort of responsible for Kim to do that. Not just I need a break from work, I'm dropping everything and taking 2 weeks off. I think it's a little bit of all of that.
Right.
So Kim is still pretty much Kim. Jimmy is really back to Jimmy. He's not really closer to Saul. He's like kind of back in Jimmy mode. So that's what I mean. There wasn't really much of a turn of events that make us see like, oh, okay, now we've seen this transition.
Right, but now see, much like what I was talking about with Chuck, it seemed like Chuck got better, and then when Chuck got better, everything kind of hit him. Now we've seen Jimmy go back to Jimmy, like the Jimmy that we love, and so things are better. And
yeah, but you think Chuck got better. I don't think Chuck got better.
Okay, well, I definitely think he did, a little. I think he made progress, so I don't know. I was satisfied with it. It wasn't my favorite, but I did get a little bit out of it. And I got some things to make me happy. I really liked that thing with Irene. I was not happy with that last week. So that made me happy. Nacho still being with us made me happy. Touchy-feely Jimmy made me happy. There was some happiness in it with me, and I'll take that. It has not been the season for finales, and I worry about now our Fargo finale on Thursday.
All right, Michelle, I'll see you next week on 311. Better not call West Coast Project to do a podcast. No, Fargo will be good.
I don't know.
I'm 100% convinced, will be excellent.
You think?
I'm very surprised that this was not excellent, but I'm pretty sure Fargo will be excellent. Fargo is another podcast on West Coast Project that Michelle and I do.
Yep.
Along with The Affair and Orange is the New Black and the Slap. Louie.
You and the Slap. True Detective, The Americans, lots of good stuff. Hi, lots Michelle. Of good stuff.
I don't know what else to say. See you next year on Better Call Saul.
See you next year.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.